The first lesson is recorded in the book of Micah, chapter 5, beginning at the second verse. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning at the fifth verse. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, Here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, as we said a few minutes ago, Christmas is just a few days away. Many children have sent letters, or perhaps emails or texts to Santa. I don't know if he's on Snapchat or not. They've sent their Christmas list to the Jolly Man in Red in hopes that they might find favor and receive the things for which they've asked. And the truth is, sometimes we get the things that we ask for. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes we get the things that we've hoped for, but at a time unexpected. And that was the case for a certain woman in the Bible. She had long hoped for this wondrous thing, a thing she believed would be a great blessing. And having received this blessing, at a time she didn't expect, she no doubt learned along the way that a thing may be wondrous, but not necessarily always joyful. And that one might receive a blessing beyond comprehension, but that possessing the blessing may not always be easy. And so it was for this woman married to a priest in Israel. Her name was Elizabeth. Now, we don't know what her exact age was, but She was old enough that she was thought to be among those considered unable to bear children. Now, as many of you know, she and her husband Zechariah had hoped for children for years to no avail. Until her husband one time was on duty and performing his priestly function at the temple in Jerusalem, where he was visited by the archangel Gabriel. The angel announced that their prayers had been heard and that she would conceive, and that even while in her womb, the baby would be filled with the Spirit. And she conceived, she did. And she was finishing her second trimester when the same angel, Gabriel, paid a visit to a young maiden from the town of Nazareth. Yes, that, of course, was Mary. And while the child that Elizabeth was carrying would be great, preparing the people of the nation for the coming of the Messiah, Gabriel announced to Mary that the baby she would bring into the world would be none other than the Son of God. And at the end of Gabriel's announcement to Mary, he told her that her cousin Elizabeth was expecting and in her sixth month. Gabriel leaves. Mary makes a decision. She quickly went down to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, it was not an insignificant journey. In a straight line, the distance between Nazareth and Hebron, the city most scholars believe to have been the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, was 80 miles. But it would actually be considerably farther because the trails that would be used to get around the Sea of Galilee and other natural barriers, the whole journey would really be more like 100 miles. It would take at least 5 days, and for safety's sake, she probably attached herself to a traveling caravan headed in that direction, and more than likely, she walked either most or even all of those miles. In any event, When she reaches Elizabeth's home, enters it, and greets Elizabeth, something rather astounding happens. The baby within Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. Now remember, Gabriel told Zechariah that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even while in his mother's womb. So yes, the future John the Baptist, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, leapt for joy in the presence of God's Son in the womb of Mary. And not only that, Elizabeth herself was moved by the Spirit of God and prophesied. In part, this is what she said. Blessed are you among women, she's talking to Mary, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So there you see the place where it tells us that John jumped for joy. But you see something else there too. You see Elizabeth asking a question. She asks, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? First, notice the prophetic nature of those words. Unlike children today who can text or email or Facebook message or maybe even use snail mail to send a letter to Santa, there was no such thing in the days when Mary and Elizabeth lived. Elizabeth didn't know before this very moment that Mary was carrying a child. She wasn't even showing any kind of baby bump yet. But still, Elizabeth instantly knew, by the work of the Holy Spirit in her, that Mary was with child. And not only with child, but that she was carrying the one who would, quote, be her Lord. How about that for prophetic revelation. A marvel, that's what that is. But there's something else here. Again, Elizabeth said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Why am I so favored? Favored. The word favor appears in the New International Version of the Bible 163 times. It's a word that is closely associated with the word grace, which many of you know means receiving something good that you don't deserve. And not only is the word favor used here, but the angel Gabriel used the word twice when announcing to Mary that she will carry and then bring into the world the very Son of God. He said to her that she was highly favored. Yes, both Mary and Elizabeth were favored. They were under the favor of God to be granted to bear in their wombs babies who would each accomplish outstanding things for God in this world. Here are just a few passages that utilize the word favor. We've got some from Genesis. And that first one in Genesis 4 says, "The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering." Genesis 6, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Genesis 39, "The Lord was with him, showed him kindness, and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." That's a passage that's about Joseph, who's in jail, and who nonetheless is under the favor of God by placing a favorable attitude about him in the heart of the warden. From 1 Samuel, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and people." Now to the Psalms, Psalm 5. "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Psalm 30. "His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime." From Proverbs, "For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord." Proverbs 10, "The lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." Proverbs 12, "Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes." Are you getting the idea? The Almighty and all-powerful God of the universe is ready to grant favor to the sons and daughters of Adam, human beings. Question: do you realize that you are favored? You are. That is the truth. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are favored in several ways and for several reasons. First of all, the very fact that you believe in Jesus as your Savior reveals that you are favored. Why so or how so? Where does faith come from? Do we manufacture it? No, we don't. Faith is a gift to us from God. And why should He give it to us? He certainly didn't have to, and we certainly don't deserve it. But He has given faith to us nonetheless. That, my friends, is a sign of His favor, that you have faith. Because God has favored you with faith in Jesus, your sins are forgiven, you have the promise of an eternity in heaven, and you have God's promise that in the living of life in this difficult world, He will help you every single day, day in and day out. Yes, that is favor. Oh, and let's consider this. You and I are those in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Several times in the New Testament we are told that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, by His Spirit, is living in you. You are a holy place. Everywhere you walk is holy ground because of the presence of God in you. That is favor. We just saw that it said in Proverbs 8 that those who find God find life and receive favor. In Proverbs 10, it said that the lips of the righteous find favor. When we allow the Spirit of God to guide our hearts and our thoughts, our lips will overflow with righteousness, righteous speak, and indeed favor will be ours. Understand, comprehend, take in and embrace this wonderful truth, a timeless truth of God. Because of the grace and love of God, we who know Jesus live under the favor of none other than God. There is no greater favor to have than to live under the favor of God. And not only is that a grand thing in and of itself, but I'll tell you what, it's way better than being outside His favor. You don't want to be outside of His favor. If a person is living outside the favor of God, it means they are either a Christian living with persistent sin, in which case they need to come to the place of repentance and fast, or it means that they are living outside of God's kingdom of grace and are instead enslaved within the kingdom of Satan. And the truth is, most people living in Satan's kingdom are clueless about their state. They don't know it. And Satan just loves their ignorance about what kingdom they belong to. That's why so many unbelievers seem to have it all. I've had people over the years, parishioners, come to me and say, "You know, Pastor, I try to live a good life. And then there's these people that I know who are horrible people, and they just seem to be so blessed. Why is that?" You see, Satan doesn't mind at all blessing people who are in his kingdom. Because you see, if they think themselves happy enough, why would they even give God any consideration? If things are going just grand, if they're, you know, maybe happy as the next guy, why would they give God 2 seconds of thought? Oh, it is equally true that the devil and his minions love to make human beings miserable, for in truth, they can't stand us. They have a hatred because we were created in God's image and they weren't. But if keeping them away from God means heaping upon them promotion after promotion, new car after new car, the finest of clothes, the greatest popularity, if that's what it takes to keep them in His kingdom, He doesn't mind a bit. And friends, you and I know some of those people. And God wants us to lead them out of that land of darkness. And we do that by sharing God's love with them and sharing with them God's truths, especially the truth that Jesus came to rescue them from the consequences of all their bad and hurtful decisions they've made in life. For you see, God wants to shower favor on them as much as He does on you and me. So as we now quickly approach our annual celebration of the birth of our great Savior, the one through whom the grand favor of God pours forth into and onto our lives, let's be glad. Let's rejoice. And let's make sure that we give Jesus the central focus of our hearts on Christmas. Amen? Amen.